bring Christian greetings. It's good to be in the house of the Lord again. I appreciate what we've heard and throughout the service this morning. Also, want to glad for each one that's here. We'll welcome our visitors, and it's good to have you here with us. We titled the message this morning, "The Light of the Glorious Gospel." Talked about light some last Sunday. Brother Dalton talked about Jesus, the light. You know, if we go back to Genesis 1 and the first verse there, first two verses, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day." So when we think about light, I've got, you know, I came in here this morning, and I punched a couple buttons, and this place lit up. And we're dependent upon power, on electricity to make light a lot of times. I've got a little candle here, and if this works, I'm going to light it. I think it's going to work. Now this isn't much light, but if you were in a Missouri cave and you were in the middle of it and your flashlight went out, your batteries went dead, and you had this and a match to light it, this would be a lot of light. So it's something that, you know, when you think of light, as I studied this and thought about light, I asked last Sunday how much distance is in a light year? And I've got one answer here. A young fellow gave me a paper with the answer. Anybody else have the answer? How many miles are in a light year?
5.88 trillion.
You got it right down there. Just under 6 trillion. That's a number I don't... Can you comprehend that? You don't... I don't either. to give us a little bit of an idea, I want to think a little bit about this being the this is the world, this is a globe, we know. And I mentioned last Sunday that a light second, light would travel around this globe, around the earth, actually, in 7.5 times, I think. Ivan's not here this morning, but I think it's what he said last Sunday. He's right. So a light second, the light would travel around the earth 7.5 times in 1 second. I can't get my finger around there that fast on this little thing. So that's, and the reason I'm talking about this is to get us a concept of the greatness of God and his care for us, and just to think of the speed of light. So if I would take a string around this 7.5 times, and I'd lay that out lengthwise, and we'd say that is the circumference of the earth is 24,900 miles. So take that times 7.5. That gives us one light. So we'd stretch that line out, set seven and a half of these circles. That gives us a light second. So that's 7.5 times 24,900 miles. You take that length now and multiply it, add 31.6 million lines end to end, that length. Now, you're going a long ways. Even on this little size here. Now think of that in terms of literally the the circumference of the world. Add 31.6 million times to that, end to end, and you're going to have the distance of light years. This paper that was given me says it's 5.878, 625, 370, I don't know how to say that, but you end up with just under 6 trillion miles. That's a light year. So if you look at the Webb telescope that they have now, they're looking out there a lot further. They're seeing a lot more things than they had. And they're talking about billions of light years. And I don't think it matters. We're so far beyond comprehension there. But if you think about the moon being a light second away, it takes a second for the moonlight to come to us. The sunlight takes eight minutes, so the sun is about 8 light minutes away. Light from Alpha Centauri, which is the nearest star system to our own, requires roughly 4.3 years to get here. So Alpha Centauri is 4.3 light years away. Is it any wonder that God decided to start out with light? That's the first thing he made. It was darkness, and he made light. You know, he cared enough about you and I, about man, to create this little world and to create life there, to bring light and to create human beings, you and I, and give us the choice to love and to serve their creator, or they can choose to believe that they are their own God, that they're accountable to no one, that a big bang in evolution brought this all about. And finally, down through time, we ended up here, right? And the sun is at that exact distance from the earth to give us warmth, to bring life. That just happened. Which takes more faith, to believe that God created these things and that God created the universe way out there, whether it's a million light years or billions, I don't know, I don't care, it doesn't matter. If it was only one, you know, it's so far out there from our comprehension. But we know it is way out there, and they're seeing things further and further away. And they're, you know, the goal is, of course, with this Webb telescope to find life and to find, I don't know what all, but, you know, I honestly think life is here on this earth. And another thing that this kind of, while we're talking here, I think I'm talking to people that believe in a round earth. You know, there is people that are struggling with that, those ideas right now. But I think if we want to really look and see truth, it's there. And God cared about you and I. He brought light. You know, light penetrates darkness. Light warms. Light heals. We're going to talk a little bit more about some of what light does. But when we think on the other side of things, think of darkness a little bit. You know, he says there that that the earth was without form, void, darkness was upon the face of the deep. You know, if you're in the dark, and as I was thinking about this, I had to think of a one night that early morning hour that we were was left in the dark. It was December of 1995. I think we left it around 4:30 a.m. to go deer hunting. I had a friend here visiting from North Carolina, Roger Miller, and he a young couple that were visiting us, and he went with me. In the Nissan truck that I was driving, the passenger side seat belt didn't work. And so I opted not to wear one. You know, I felt bad putting mine on if he didn't have one. Well, we were headed up north, up toward Manus and curvy roads, and I'd been on them a few times, but wasn't real familiar with them. So we're driving along foggy, and he was seat laid back and sleeping, and I was, you know, trying to navigate the road with the typical headlights of a 85 model Nissan, and it wasn't real bright, so I was kind of going the middle of the road, and wasn't in a big hurry. It wasn't a good time to be in a big hurry. But suddenly, I was into a hard corner. And if you think about that, you're in the middle of the road, and you're all of a sudden in a hard corner, it's a worse. And I did everything. I tried to stay on the road without overcorrecting stuff, and we just kept going around in a circle, and there was a lot of noise, squalling tires, and I kept trying to correct and thinking, knowing that if I went too far, we were going to go around the other way, and there was no fear of that because there's no way of going back the other way. We did a 180, flipped on our top down into the ditch and continued on up the ditch another 30 feet upside down. And just as we stopped the windshield, I heard a poof, windshield went out, or somewhere in that ditch it did. And I clambered out the opening in front of me and was so glad to hear a voice say, "Are you all right?" But you know, it was dark, really dark. And what would, if something like that happened now, what's the first thing you boys would do? What would you do? You try to get some light on, right? Where would you go find it? You try to pull it out of your pocket, wouldn't you? And you try to get some light on the subject. Well, there was nothing in my pocket to make light back then, and it was dark, and we were in the dark, and there wasn't a pole light in sight. We weren't in a hole either. We could see. I mean, after it got daylight, we could, and there was not a pole light in sight. There was not any road noise anywhere. It was just a beautiful, quiet night, and there we were. And you know, we'd have been glad for light. We finally, as dawn broke a little bit, we could see that there was a house up the hill, but neither one of us was too anxious to go up there and knock on somebody's door where there's no lights at all. And we didn't want to go together either because we were afraid somebody would come by and report us and would go on and report that there was an accident, and then we'd have that to deal with, and we really didn't want that either. So there we stood. We waited and we waited. And don't remember if we had coffee or not, but we waited for daylight to come, and finally just daylight was breaking and some brave soul was out heading for Springfield Flea Market and garage sailing. And they came flying around the corner and started, and they braked and gave me a ride to a payphone, one of those things that you put a quarter in and you make a call. You know what that is? And I called home and called my wife and then I called my dad too to come bring something to pick us up. But that was darkness. You know, the light was so welcome. I'd like to, if you want to turn with me, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'd like to read that as we think of the light of the glorious gospel. And that's where this passage is, where that title comes from. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body this dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. You know, what does that light do for the one who receives it? Let's think about some of the characteristics of light. What light does physically and spiritually. You know, light dispels darkness. Light itself cannot be seen, but reveals everything in its presence. Light cannot be grasped or held. Light fills all available space, but will not invade space closed to it. Light can be everywhere at once. Light is never consumed or exhausted by anything in its presence. Light is illumination, enabling us to find our way. Light is communication by written words and symbols to our mind. Light is color, revealing incredible beauty around us. Light is warmth. It gives comfort. Light is energy, producing power. Light is speed, from here to there in an instant. Light is essential for growth and healing. Light fades the further we move from its source. You know, there are no words adequate to describe light itself, only descriptions of what light does. John 8:12 says, Jesus said again, and then speak Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Isaiah 60, verse 1 says, Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. There's a quote here I'd like to read. It says, The gospel is simply a grand report, a message having its origin in glorious reality. It's not a mere empty proclamation. A glorious being is compared to sun or light. The sun is a fountain of light, and its luster is its glory, the diffusion, the distinction of that light. The gospel is God's glory and our light. It is our light in that it is the medium whereby his work is proclaimed, extolled, recognized, and honored throughout the whole world. The gospel is not the actual brightness of the light, nor is it the light itself, but it is the rising of the brightness, the approaching of the light. It is simply a manifestation of the light and brightness which existed from eternity. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light did not arise, nor was it openly manifested except through the gospel. Therefore, the gospel is an expression of divine brightness and glory. It is called gospel, the good message, because it reveals and proclaims divine blessings, divine glory, and divine honor or brightness. What is the brightness but the great and glorious riches of his goodness and grace poured out upon us? How has grace appeared? Through the preaching of the gospel. The light and the glory of God himself. Christ says, I am the light. It is plain that Isaiah is not speaking of the rising of Christ in the sense of his coming birth. He refers to the rising of the gospel after Christ's ascension. Through the gospel, Christ is spiritually risen and glorified in the hearts of believers, bringing them salvation. Now, the gospel is God's glory and our light. The gospel is the good message. You know, the other night, one thought the brother shared Wednesday night there, Leon. He said, why is it so easy to lose out? Is it because we've lost the vision, the burden for souls? Along with that, I'd like to ask, you know, is it because we've gotten too far away from the light? And when someone passes away, Brother Joe was talking about that, and it's on our minds the last several weeks pretty heavily. You know, our first question is, where are they now? You know, do we have the confidence that we know where they are? You know, if you ponder that question, if each one of us ponder that question seriously this morning, if that was me, where would I be? Would others, would my friends have the confidence that they know where I am? You know, we can have a lot of questions when things happen. But if that question is settled in our mind, you know, that is the most important question. Light reveals. You know, when we struggle with accountability, when we do things in secret, it leaves questions. When our responses aren't from a peaceful heart, it brings questions. Recently, I listened to some of the CDs from a book, The Sower Went Forth. Have many of you read that book? Got some of you here. It's very interesting. The CDs were kind of in bad shape, so didn't get all of it. But a lot of us have heard about Ralph Palmer and his tract and sign ministry. And I was going to ask Delbert, I don't know if he's here this morning or not, but I wonder if he didn't have a lot of influence on Brother Floyd's zeal for passing out tracts and putting up signs. But I don't know. Maybe somebody knows that, but we've still got, see some heads nodding back there. We've still got some signs, I think, down on K Highway that would have been from that era. There was one up here at the corner, but I think it's gone now. But he was a young man. Ralph was a young man that took the wrong path, made some wrong decisions. He was, I'm right here, he was an alcoholic. But anyway, he was on his deathbed. He was very sick, a dying man. And some caring person asked George Brunk to come talk to Ralph. And through that visit, Ralph was converted. He found the Lord. It was a process, and there were times of falling back, and that's where I missed a pretty good section of it, so I don't know all the details. But finally, Ralph made a change for real. The power of the light of the gospel transformed his life. And because it was real in his life, he became very diligent in spreading the gospel through track work and distribution and putting up gospel signs. You know, he had his own vehicle covered with verses. And day after day, in all kinds of weather, he would go out on the streets and pass out tracts. You know, sometimes the streets are so littered with tracts that he wondered if anybody took time to read them. And he'd pass out thousands a day. I think I remember hearing 6,000 one time, but he passed out a lot of tracts. And you can imagine what the streets look like and when people grab him and go down the street and let him fly. He even ended up in jail a couple times. And one time in Goshen, Indiana, ironically, of all places. And I think he only maybe spent 8 hours in jail there. But he took the opportunity, those opportunities, to witness to the convicts, to the ones in there. And he said that the look on their faces when they saw this man walk in, they were shocked. You know, what are you doing here? And gave him the opportunity to speak and to reach out to these men. You know, a lot of times he pushed himself beyond what his wife thought he should do for his health's sake. They would drive to towns and cities, stay in hotels, and spend the days out passing out tracts all over the country. In their later years, they bought a camper to go on the back of a pickup and lived out of the camper. But many times he wondered if these tracts were doing anything. He didn't hear much. He didn't know. Every now and then they would hear from somebody thanking them for being willing to share the gospel. And there were many times that the local police would come up and say, thanks for what you're doing. We need that. These people need that. But one time he got a letter from a woman thanking him for passing out tracts in a certain town on a certain date. So he did some recollecting and he figured out it was on the exact date that he had told his wife. He came home, he said, I'm not going out tomorrow. It was at a port on a weekend when a lot of soldiers were coming into the port. And that's why he went, because he knew they were coming in. But they were not receptive. They weren't coming in to get tracts. They were coming in to see people, to drink. They were coming in to make the most of the weekend. A lot of drinking, a lot of immorality and vices going on. These people were not interested in tracts. And if they did take them, they just often threw them within sight, sometimes right in his face. And it was very discouraging. He came home after the first day and he said, it's no use. I'm not going back tomorrow. And his attitude surprised his wife. This wasn't like Ralph. And she said, are you sure? He said, it's no use. He said, yes, I'm sure. I'm not going back tomorrow. And she asked him a few more questions. And it was settled in his mind. He was done. He wasn't going back tomorrow. Well, the next morning she got up and was amazed to find him carrying his box of the tracks to the car or whatever vehicle he had. And she said, what are you doing? He said, I'm going to pass out tracks. You're what? Yeah, I'm going to pass out tracks. She said, well, you said you're not going. He said, I have to go. And it was that day that a track was picked up by a man that was an alcoholic. He left for the city despite his wife and his children's pleading for him not to go. He had been living this kind of life for quite a while, and his wife was at the end of dealing with it. But he, on that particular day, I believe he picked up a tract actually and stuck it in his pocket and brought it home. He didn't read it then, but after he was home, he pulled it out and read it. When he was sober, and it changed his life. It brought peace to a home that was suffering because of a wayward father. He vowed never to touch alcohol again. And by God's grace, he kept his word according to this letter. His wife was so thankful for that track that he had picked up. You know, the power, the light of the glorious gospel, the power of the work of the Holy Spirit and those that are sensitive to his leading. You know, what if he hadn't gone out that day? You know, you may never find out what happens to the seeds you sow. But I have to think of that, those of you that were here Wednesday night saw a picture of that tree growing right out of the middle of a rock. The big rock that was split, and this tree coming out the middle, and says, never underestimate the power of a seed. You know, as you evaluate your life this morning, how would you say the light of the glorious gospel of Christ has affected you? What has changed in your life? You know, if nothing has changed, Maybe it's time to check to see how close we are to that light, the true light. Is it lighting your life? I got a call from an old customer one day, and she said, I thought I saw your crew at the gas station. This was at her local town. And she said, so I sat in my car and watched them. But when I saw them walking out with beer, I knew they weren't your crew. You know, when we profess to be Christians, people around us have an expectation. Are we letting them down? You know, I think, I'm just going to be pretty blunt here, I feel that this is one area we've failed on passing on conviction. And when I, you know, hear cases of where our people, our conservative people, consider social drinking to be not that not that, you know, is it really wrong? You know, when the Apostle Paul said, use a little wine for your stomach's sake, that verse is often used. And I don't think he's making place for social drinking. We probably all know of people that were affected by alcohol. Fathers that left home. Children that fled in fear of what would happen when their drunken father came home. Many lives that were taken prematurely by a drunk driver. Most of us probably know someone that was hooked on alcohol after their first drink. You know, what devastation. You know, youth, you have been or you will be faced with these kinds of vices. How will you respond? And I firmly believe that your response well depends on how close you're walking to the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. What is dictating the decisions in your life? You know, these are choices you need to make now. And decisions you need to make and decide where you're going to stand. The light of the glorious gospel of Christ. Are we convinced that it will meet every need? Or is it good for the refugees? We know it's what they need. We know it will meet their needs. We want to share it with them. You know, we know it meets the needs of those that their stories were written in books like Women That Risk Killing Christians, Seeking Allah and Finding Jesus, Nabil, can't say his last name very well, Quraysh or whatever it is, Ralph Palmer, and you all have stories that you could add. We believe that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ will meet the needs of those in foreign lands. But do you believe that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ can meet the need in your life personally? In the lives of those around you, in your family, in your church family? You know, whenever a person comes face to face with the glorious light of the gospel of Christ, there's a decision that must be made. You know, it's either going to bring healing, or if it's rejected, it will finally leave its subject with a harder heart. You know, when Zacchaeus met Jesus, the light changed his heart. It changed from the inside out. He was so excited. He was willing to do whatever it took to make things right. You know, Jesus knew his heart. He knew his heart's desire. You know, those that proclaimed to be following Scripture, those that knew the law, those that were the teachers and leaders of their day, they cried out against it. They said, why are you going against what Christ was doing? Why are you going to this sinner's house to drink tea with him, defiling yourself? We have the story of the rich young ruler that was trying to obey the law. He was doing all the right things. But when faced with the reality of what Christ was asking of him, he walked away sorrowful, it says. He wasn't willing to give all. And that is the call of the gospel message. You know, when Saul was struck down by that bright light, it changed him. You know, he went from being a persecutor to being persecuted. From protesting Christ's teaching and authority to embracing and preaching Christ. He was the instrument God used to put a lot of the gospel message in writing for future generations. You know, have you been struck by the light of the glorious gospel of Christ? Is it radiating from your life? Is that what those that you met last week, that those that you interacted with this past week would say about you? Did they take note that you have been with Jesus? John, we have the verse there that talks about the disciples in Acts 4:13. It says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. I think we got our 459 in our church hymnal. Yeah, so in 459, our church hymnal, if you want to turn to that. And maybe we'll sing the first and last verse, and full all the way, and the two and three will just sing the main part, and just the chorus with the first and last. Do you give me a, maybe you already did, E flat. Why don't we stand together, those of you that want to?
No soul would but know you've been with Jesus. Can they feel his presence near? As with them you joy and labor, as with them you journey here. Tell that you love Jesus. Can they buy your life and mine? Say in daily walk in action that we have this life divine. In the small things of this life, in the daily round of duty, in the midst of toil and strife, much as unto others, ye have done these things, said he. Unto me ye did the service, witness that all men may see. Not by word of lip often, is the world convinced of truth, but the deed of loving service from the heart brings fullest fruit. Come and tell that you love Jesus.
Maybe seated. Not all songs work that good, leaving the chorus off. Can men tell that you love Jesus? And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Mark 8:34 says, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now that is a call of the gospel. That's the gospel message. Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. John 14:23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and will come unto him and make our abode with him. So again, as we think of light, I might run over that list again. You know, light dispels darkness. Light itself cannot be seen, but reveals everything in its presence. Light cannot be grasped or held. Light fills all available space, but will not invade space closed to it. So, you know, the choice is ours. we can open up or we can be closed to the light. Light can be everywhere at once. Light is never consumed or exhausted by anything in its presence. Light is illumination, enabling us to find our way. Light is communication by written words and symbols to our mind. Light is color, revealing incredible beauty around us. Light is warmth, giving comfort. Light is energy, producing power. Light is speed from here to there in an instant. Light is essential for growth and healing. Light fades the further we move from its source. Let's move closer. Let's move closer. Let's make sure that we are close to the source of the true light. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Kind Heavenly Father, as we come again before Thee again this forenoon, we thank You again for Your many blessings to us. We thank You for Your love to us. And we thank You for the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. We thank You for the hope that we can have. And Lord, we pray that we might be reflectors of that light, that we might truly shine out for You. And we thank You for each one here, and we thank You for their commitment and their desire to be that light. Lord, we believe that's true of those that are here. They wouldn't be here this morning. We just pray that You might help us to collectively and together to walk closer to You and to be more like You and to seek to identify with You and to just to shine true and faithful. We just pray for those that are traveling today and pray for those that have lost loved ones. We just pray You might be near to them. Pray for the many that are being persecuted for Your name's sake today, that being identified with the true light brings a chance of losing their own lives. And we just pray that You might grant strength and courage and safety. And pray that Your light might go forth this morning in all the world, wherever it's being preached and taught and read, that it might be a means of encouraging and comforting and drawing souls to You. We just want to commit this service to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.